Good morning. It's with great honour and pleasure that I'll be leading the service today. I'm grateful to see so many familiar faces of our regular members, both here in the church and on Zoom. And I'm also thankful for those who will be joining the service on our download at a later stage. Whether you're one of our regular church family, or if today is your first time worshipping here, or your first time after a while, I extend a warm and heartfelt welcome to each and every one of you. We gather here not as individuals, but as a family of believers, united in our faith in Christ. Our service today brings the hope of inspiration, connection, and the joy that comes with shared worship. Let us approach this service with hearts open, ready to be moved by the Spirit of love, peace, and grace. As we lift our hearts in song, bow our heads in prayer, and reflect on the teachings of our faith, may the emotions stirred within us deepen our connection with God and with one another. The opportunity to connect with one another continues after the service, as you're all welcome to join and share in refreshments in the hall. And any donations today will be going to Christian Aid. Now, before we go any further with the service, I'm going to invite Catherine to come up, who's got an announcement to make.
Good morning. Just a little announcement. As you, I hope, all know, that Chris, our lovely youth worker, is finishing his time with us next week. We are going to do a little collection, so if anyone has money today, you can hand it to my mum Jane, or over the next few weeks, if you could put it in the collection plate with Chris's name on it, and we'll know to gather it together. We're hoping to do it possibly maybe the last weekend in August, just when all of our families and things are back. So yes, that would be lovely. Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord Jesus Christ, speak to our hearts in the stillness. Keep us steadfast in the foundation that cannot be shaken. Lift up our eyes to behold the vision of your glory and perfect our faith now and always. Amen. Let us stand and sing CH4 198, Let Us Build a House Where Love Can Dwell.
Thank you.
God, who blesses us abundantly, who gives us so much, also promises us grace and love. Let us trust in the mercy of our Creator as we make our confessions, first in silent prayer. Holy God, giver of blessings, we thank you for the mercies we know and ask your forgiveness when we fail to acknowledge you as the source of all good. When we hoard our gifts, say, "That's mine." When we ignore the bounty around us and we are blind to the good, forgive us. Help us to share, to see, to live gratefully. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Now, our next hymn has got some actions in it, and it was geared for the children. And as I look around, there's lots of people young at heart, but not very many small in stature. So I was going to be asking Claire and Eleanor to come forward and help with the actions. They're more than welcome to, ladies, if you like. So some of you might know the actions anyway. So even if this is your dancing from last night, or this is your warm-up for a wonderful Sunday, feel free to join in with the actions as we just sing together, "I am the church, you are the church." Thank you, everyone. That was, I think that was a lesson in perhaps learning how many verses are in a hymn before we choose them. But thank you, ladies. And thank you for helping me to join in. That was good. Now, as I said, I had been hoping to have some children here, so I do have a children's address, which I'm going to keep for another date, so you'll be glad to hear. So we'll all get a tea and a coffee a bit sooner than expected. But the message today on the children's talk had very much just been about God giving children talents and personalities and things, and how they can share that with their friends round about them by being kind, and how they can smile and do those kind of things. So that was going to be the main message for the children this morning. So that will take us into our next hymn, which was about how they can just make sure that their light shines, that light that Jesus has given them. But before we get to that, we're just going to have another short prayer, then we'll go straight into the Lord's Prayer. Lord, you are wonderful, and we thank and praise you. We thank you for your love and for how it multiplies when we give it away. And we praise you for Jesus, who shows us the way of love each and every day. And as we join together in the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. God has made us rich by making us who we are. We can show God how thankful we are by letting our light shine. Let us join in our next hymn from Junior Praise 258, This Little Light of Mine.
I'm gonna let it shine. listen for the Word of God. Both our lessons today are from the New Testament, and the first is from the letter of Paul to the Colossians, reading from chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And we read also from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verses 13 to 21, the parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man produced good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." Thanks be to God.
We stand again to sing, "Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart," hymn 465. May all that I say and all that you hear, all that we think and all that we do, be in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I would like you to think about Jesus' story of the rich farmer who stores up his wealth. Did you, like me, think that the story was about you? Not because we're necessarily farmers or that we have an overabundance of wealth, but we do live in a society where great wealth is celebrated. The annual Sunday Times Rich List, giving a breakdown of the UK's wealthiest people, is evidence of this. We also live in a society that encourages sound financial prudence. This is why we invest in our pensions and save up a little nest egg for the future. We work hard so that we can buy a house, and then we work even harder to get a bigger house and so increase our investment. I found the reality that the story of the foolish rich man is about me just as much as it was about that farmer all those centuries ago, quite uncomfortable and jarring. To help me balance this feeling, I started to try and put the story in its context. Now, I've already said that in our day and age, we live in a society where we celebrate wealth and are encouraged to build our capital. And it's human nature to follow the norms of what's going on around us. So this is why it's easy to get lured into the monetary wealth being heralded as a symbol of success. Now, this is very different from the society that Jesus lived in when he was telling the story of the rich fool. In those days, society was built around working the land and the resources that you have, taking what you needed and sharing the rest with the community. Generating great wealth was normally achieved from ill-gotten gains of corruption and injustice. And in the passage from Colossians, read by Fraser, we heard, "Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly." Adding the context to the story perhaps answers more compassionately the question of, is this story about me? Well, yes, the story is relevant to me, as are all stories in the Bible. But is it about my behavior and my actions? Am I a foolish rich man? Now, is the story telling us that the accumulation of wealth or having more than really is needed is a bad thing? Is this what Jesus intends when he says, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" If that is the message, then it's an extremely tall order for us to achieve in today's society. Surrendering all our wealth to follow a monastic life, as demonstrated by monks and nuns, is one approach. Such devotion to God and commitment to actively follow in Jesus' footsteps is admirable. Those called into such service lived in orders largely closed off from society, so are protected from the exposure to the capitalist norm of worth being gauged by our wealth. They invest their wealth in the place they inhabit. They follow the norm of working together for the greater good of the community. However, financial wealth is only one part of God's blessing to us. Our wealth reaches far greater than the token of notes and coins. God has blessed us all with talents, skills, capabilities and uniqueness. We can see this in the church this morning. Just look around. Now, as Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 shows, God blessed us by creating the world, instructing us to be the caretakers and custodians of what he had made. Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. If we all lived a monastic lifestyle in monasteries and convents, how could we effectively fulfill our role as custodians of God's gift to the world? Where would our families be? Where would our teachers, doctors, nurses, and caregivers be? How could we guard against injustice, poverty, war, with no lawyers, bankers, government leaders, or religious teachers? How could we protect the planet with no gardeners? Stepping back to the story of the rich fool, and remembering that at the time society was fueled by the norm to only take what was needed and to share for the greater good of those around you, I believe that that is the message that we need to take away today. Creating wealth is not bad within itself. In fact, it is financially prudent. However, we need to decide, based on our Christian values, what is enough to allow us to live with dignity, then share what is left over with those less fortunate. It's how we choose to share our wealth in all its guises that shows our worth. Consider this. Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft, is reported to have a net worth of $115 billion. Jeff Bezos, who's the CEO of Amazon, has a net worth of $243 billion. But how do they choose to spend this wealth? Bill Gates has donated over $60 billion to his foundation with the mission to create a world where every person has the opportunity to live a healthy and productive life. Jeff Bezos has pledged to donate $10 billion to the Earthshot Prize. Here's the rub. While pledging this amount to a prize dedicated to protecting our planet, he also funds space travel. Not with the purpose of space exploration or scientific inquiry, but for tourism with passengers. Today, at 12:30, we'll see the 34th outing of the Blue Orbit spaceship. There'll be six passengers whose wealth allows them to buy a ticket on that shuttle. I'd be interested to know how many of those facing poverty would find comfort in this. Moreover, I'm not convinced that blasting a rocket into space is a great strategy for protecting the planet. As I mentioned earlier, generating wealth in Jesus' time was normally associated with corruption and viewed as being sinful. The message that Jesus was giving to the man was a warning against focusing on wealth and not giving back the blessings that he'd been given by God. On the back of today's pew leaflet, I've included a poem by Christine Rossetti, called Lay Up for Yourself Treasures in Heaven. The poem relates treasures and puts it in relation to flight and feathers. And verse 3 of that poem says, pleasure to be pleasure must come without a wing. Treasure to be treasure must be a stable thing. Are the things that we get pleasure from built on a whim of the latest trend that could soon be taken away and fly? Our true treasure is founded on something that doesn't change, and God's word to us has lasted centuries, so this is surely the stable thing. In closing, there's one other similarity that I share with the rich fool, and in fact that we all share, and that is that none of us will know when our last day on earth will be. How will we be judged on that day of reckoning? What will matter to Jesus? God's not going to ask us what kind of car we drove, but he might ask us how many people we gave a lift to who didn't have transport. He won't ask how big our houses are, but he might ask how many people we welcomed into our homes. He won't ask about your designer clothes, but he would be interested in how many people in poverty you helped to clothe. God won't care what your highest salary was, but he will be concerned if you compromised your integrity to get it. God won't ask how many friends you had. God will ask how many people to whom you made sure you were a friend. And it doesn't matter to God what cruise ship you went on, but he might wonder how many people you pulled out of the depths of despair. Earlier in Luke, there's the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus is tested by being asked what has to be done to inherit eternal life. And his answer, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Lord, make your word our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. For the sake of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to continue with the service as we join to sing again. This time it's hymn 694, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. For those of you who are able to stand, we're just going to bring forward the offering. Father, our shield and defender, you've taught us how to trust your goodness and lay up treasures in heaven. We offer you gifts in response to your world. We bring you a portion of what we have gained in thankful praise for the abundance we have. We give you our souls in humble obedience, for in Christ we inherit eternal life. Be pleased with our offering, for they are a sign of your mercy and grace that we have received through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, as we settle to go to our prayers of intercession, we've just been speaking about our wealth being more than just monetary. Our wealth is ourselves. I'm going to ask you just to have a wee look around the church, catch someone's eye, give them a nod, give them a smile. If you're sitting next to someone you know, give them a squeeze and just say thanks, because this is our wealth. Hannah's going to play the doxology music again, so just take a couple of moments from that, settle yourselves down for the prayers. Thank you. In a world ever chasing wealth and possessions, we bring our prayers to the one who calls us to share what we have. Now there's a response to the words, God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Most High, we bring to you places of war and terror in our world. Bless those seeking to be peacemakers. Give strength to those who cling to life despite the odds. Give hope to children that they may grow up in a better world, and change the hearts of those wedded to war, power, and terror. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O risen Lord, we bring to you our dangerous cultures and ways of life. You owned almost nothing, yet changed the world. Change our hearts that we may reject love of money. Use our resources more fairly, that hunger and poverty is banished, and the earth itself is healed. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Holy Spirit, we bring to you all that is wounded in our world and in our lives. You give us the power to change, to make this world more just, Give us the grace to listen to you and follow where you call, that we may not be afraid to be heralds of the coming kingdom. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Trinity of love, we bring to you all those we worry about. Give grace, peace, hope, and love, and make us agents of change. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we close our service together, I want to take a moment to express thanks for your presence, your commitment to being here, to sharing in this fellowship, is a testament to the strength and unity in the congregation. I hope that you will all join me in the fellowship of refreshments in the hall, and I do believe there's some home baking. It's your reward for investing time to the service. And as I mentioned before, the donations will be going to Christian Aid. Now, if you find that you're like myself and the late Queen Elizabeth, you might have a husband who walks 10 paces behind you and often carries your handbag, but within said handbag, there might not be any money. So if you find yourself in that position, it's not a barrier, okay? Come for the refreshments, and when you get home, check the kitchen cupboard, look for the tin of soup at the back, look for the packet of biscuits, and next time you're going to the food bank, drop it off, okay? The important thing here is that if you've got a bit of abundance, you share it, and there is an abundance of tea and coffee and cake. So thank you very much. We're just going to join in our final hymn, which is printed in the pew leaflet.
Thank you.
in peace. May God bless each person here. May he fill our hearts with love and direct our footsteps with compassion. May he open our arms to others and cause us to speak with kindness and wisdom, and so make us more like Christ this day and evermore.